Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Game was, or where the game was played, home, like if it's at home, I could see them beating Baltimore. I could see them beating Cincinnati. I could see them beating Houston if it was here. And even on the road, I could see them beating Baltimore if they got matched up against them in the playoffs. The Ravens have been so good offensively, and Lamar had five touchdowns last night, and it is the top rushing attack in the NFL by far. But there's no fear factor there because we match up so good again, so well against them.
We've never had to match up against them. Why am I saying we? I don't even do that, even though I'm a Steelers. The Steelers have never had to try and match up against them when they have specifically had one of what I would say is the 12 to 15 best running backs ever to play football
in their backfield. And I would say back to that, the Steelers have done well against Derrick Henry historically.
They haven't done well against Derrick Henry when he's been playing on the same team as the best running quarterback ever.
Okay, fine, Mulsey. Then let's just crown him right now and pretend like the freaking Raiders didn't go there with Gardner Minshew and win a game earlier this year. That happened.
That's a wart. And since then...
Yes, that's not just a wart. That is a boil that is on someone's ball sack, and they don't know how to get it out. Or get it. What would you do with a lesion like that? Would you puncture it to let the pus out?
A wart on your testicles?
No, a boil.
What's the difference between a wart and a boil?
I think boils are just...
Is it just a zit?
A boil is like a gigantic blister. Like, then you think of what a blister
is? Puncture those. You're supposed to...
pop them, right?
No, you're not supposed to, because then the fluid drains out and then they become very painful.
Well, how else do you get rid of them then?
I guess, you know, you're supposed to pop them but not peel the skin. This is good. Why don't we talk about corns next segment? Bunions.
You're the one that brought up warts here. I mean, don't get mad at me.
No, you did. You said that's a giant festering wart to have
lost
to the Raiders.
No, you said that's a wart on their schedule is what you said.
Since that game.
That's what the stenographer of the show is, Jeff in South Park, and fact check me on
that. Since
that
game. I will just point out, they have scored 28, 35, 41, 30, and 41. They have beaten the Commanders, who look very much like a legit playoff team. They just went in and throttled the Buccaneers because Tampa gave them a little wiggle room when they shouldn't have been down big at the beginning, and they just took it. They beat the Bengals after being down 10 with like 5 minutes ago. I still think Cincy's good. They obliterated the Bills. And really, the Cowboys game, the only game settled by less... Well, the Cincy game was close, too.
Yep.
The Cowboys game was a rout until they just took their foot off the
gas. And you know what all those games have in common that you named? They're not against the Steelers, they're not against the Chiefs, and they're not in the playoffs. And those are the three ghosts of Christmas past, present, and future that are haunting Lamar Jackson, whether he has Derrick Henry, Barry Sanders, or Jim Brown in his backfield. They're not going to, because there's so much familiarity. Lamar Jackson owns the NFC, I think, in large part because those teams never see him and they can't replicate or duplicate in practice what it's going to be like to face a dual threat quarterback of that renown. We are comfortable playing him. I think Harbaugh kind of outfoxes himself against the Steelers. It gets in his head in those matchups. He tries to be the smartest guy in the stadium against Tomlin, and it usually backfires on him. And I think Jackson, because he knows his numbers aren't great against the Steelers, tries to do too much too. I think it's a mental block for both guys. And until I actually see them slam us, bully us, embarrass us, I'm going to feel good about that.
I got a bad feeling about Week 11. That's all I'll say.
A bad feeling.
I got a bad feeling that in Week 11, after many years of saying Lamar can't
beat
this team...
Okay, well, that's one game, okay? So they lose one game in the regular season to them. Whipty friggin' do.
When have the Steelers seen Lamar in the playoffs?
They haven't, but I'm not going to...
Well, my point is...
If they lose that game...
You're saying they've got an edge, a mental block against the Steelers. I think they're going to rip the Steelers in Week 11.
Well, I think the mental block comes back once the game is in the playoffs and not in the regular season.
Who's to say the Steelers would even make it far enough to see them?
You just said you think there might only be, what, two teams better than them? Or you said Bengals, I guess you said third team in the division, which was...
Very different than two or three teams better. The Bills are better than them. The Chiefs are better than them. The Ravens are better than them. The Texans are better than them. And the Bengals might be. I would say the Steelers, at best, are the fifth best team in the AFC right now.
Wait a minute. So you said Bills, Chiefs,
Texans, and Ravens.
On what grounds are the Texans better than them right now?
Better quarterback. And the Texans, I still don't think, have played their best. They went into a tough place to play in Green Bay and lost on a last-second field goal to a good team.
Yeah, Stroud had under 100 passing yards in that game.
And you might say, ooh, that's bad. And I might say the fact that they were up 22-21, even though their best player didn't play well, is a pretty good sign that the rest of the team's pretty sound.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I feel like if Kenny Pickett had a game where he threw for under 100 yards, you wouldn't be saying, well, this is actually a good thing that they were in the game. You would say, man, our quarterback sucked ass in this game.
Yeah, except C.J. Stroud had a rookie season that had more touchdowns than Kenny Pickett will ever throw in the pros.
Fair enough, but he's not having a gangbusters year so far. His numbers aren't knocking anybody's socks off.
Passer rating is still 95. QBR is still 66.
Okay,
10 touchdowns, four picks.
And what's Russell Wilson's QBR and passer rating and all those numbers so far this year?
The passer rating, Mike Tomlin told us not to get into small sample sizes today, so that's one thing, but Russell Wilson's passer rating was a beautiful 109. He doesn't have a QBR because there's only one game. Justin Fields, just now that we're scoring at home, his passer rating for the season, 93.9. So Stroud, even in a down year, still better than Fields, who went 4-2. QBR
We're not debating
Fields,
Stroud versus Fields. We're debating Stroud versus Russell Wilson. You're moving the goalpost to try to make CJ
Russell Wilson's played one game this year. One.
Okay. But you're saying unequivocally the Texans are better than the Steelers, and I just don't think off of this season there's much evidence for that. Before the season started, I would have agreed with you, and maybe even a few weeks ago I would have. But they've barely beaten the teams they've played, and they went to Minnesota and got completely embarrassed, and Stroud didn't even play the end of the game, and I think he had under 100 passing yards in that game, too.
They've barely beaten the teams that they've played overall, right?
Yes, other than New England.
They beat Buffalo. Does that count as just beating a team when they're pretty good? You beat a team 23-20. That's another fellow playoff team.
I'm just saying all their wins are close wins is what I'm saying. I didn't know I had to go team by team and say, well, this 3-point win actually counts as a 10-point win. I didn't know that you were giving me that assignment right now.
The Steelers beat the Broncos by 7 points. They lost to the Colts, who I don't really think are that good.
Wow, a day after being Mr. Positivity, you're right back to being, look at all of these teams that are so much better than the Steelers.
Well, I named four,
what
for
is
sure.
Even the point of trading for a wide receiver? Because none of them are going to make them a contender in the AFC.
Funny that you say all this, Pony, because I named four for sure. If the season ended today, do you know what seed the Steelers would be?
You said a team with a losing record is better than them.
They might be.
No, you said, I think they're the third best team in the division.
But I can safely say that
a team that lost to New England at home.
I can safely say that four teams are better than the Steelers in the AFC. Guess what the Steelers' seed would be if the AFC playoffs started today?
Well, it would be five because they'd lose the tiebreaker to the Ravens, even though they have the same record as them.
Yeah, so I just said four teams are better, and they would be the fifth seed. Sounds like another Malzi victory.
Donnie, where are you on the Steelers as a contender? You've been very quiet over there, probably thinking about your hibachi birthday plans tonight, no doubt.
Yeah, I'm pumped for that. Plus, you guys had a pretty good back and forth going, so I'm not just going to randomly chime in. That would be very rude.
I mean, but don't you think Malzi saying that the Bengals are probably better than the Steelers is going a little too far when they've lost at home to teams like New England?
Joey B is carrying a lot of weight on his back with that argument. I mean, and we know how I feel about his nicknames. The guy's a damn good quarterback. I do really worry about their defense, though, to where I can say, are they really better than the Steelers, or do we just have the fear of their quarterback and think that they're better than the Steelers?
I mean, if they, you know, if my aunt had uncle or was, you know, had balls, she'd be my uncle.
Yes, you yelled at a caller and said that the other day.
Okay, but they blew a 10-point lead to the Ravens, who I do think are very good. They win that game. Both those teams are 4-3 and played in, you know, an all-time classic that ended a different way.
Yes, but they didn't.
We'd have a much higher opinion of Cincinnati, maybe a lower opinion of Baltimore, but we'd feel that both of those teams looked like they were playing a different brand of football.
And if the Steelers stopped the Cowboys on the last play of the game, and if the Colts didn't put and if Anthony Richardson didn't get hurt, the Steelers might be undefeated right now. Two can play that game.
The Steelers have a big-time point differential because they overran the Raiders, who suck. And yes, the Raiders beat Baltimore.
Who's bringing up point differential right now?
Well,
that wasn't even one of my arguments.
It was because you said that the Texans only win close games, so you were inherently bringing up point differential. Why else would you talk about close games if you weren't talking about point differential?
I'm also not going to be upset about that because how often have we seen them just play slogs of games and barely win?
Impressed that they
did
that against
two teams.
I am impressed that they did that against two teams, but you're going to need a lot more than a 22-point win over a team that probably could still get back in this, the Jets, to tell me that, or to convince me that they're better than the Chiefs or the Ravens or the Texans or the Bills. Period.
It seems like the positivity wore off.
All of whom,
quickly,
by the way, have more playoff wins, even though Stroud's only been in the league for a year and a half, than the Steelers do since 2017.
Yeah. So what? The Commanders have zero playoff wins in 20 years, and I don't hear you degrading what they've done this year or denigrating their success.
They do have a very young quarterback who looks like he's on the cusp of greatness already. That kind of factors in.
Jim is on the fan. Hello, Jim.
Hey, hi, guys. Love the show.
Thank you.
You did a great job. Hey, I just have a couple things here. One is on the receiver. We don't need to go out and get anybody because, as you discussed, it's not going to get us anywhere. But what I would like to see is next year take our very first-round pick and draft the best wide receiver available that's out there. I think you'd get, of course, wouldn't cost a lot, and I think you'd be better.
So wait a minute. So you're like Chris. You think that even after watching Russell Wilson on Sunday, this is still a dead-end season?
Not dead-end, but we're not going to go far. We're not getting to no AFC championship game, I can tell you that.
Here is a very realistic playoff scenario based on where the teams are right now. If they were to open with the Broncos in the first round and then play, I don't know, the Ravens in the second round, you would feel like they couldn't win those two games?
They could win against the Broncos, but I do not believe against the Ravens, even though our record shows that we do well. But the Ravens are playing really well this year.
Okay, thank you, Jim. Again, people with amnesia, they must have forgotten when Gardner freaking Minshew went there and won just a month ago, pretending like that. Mulsey, I guess, brainwashing our audience into believing that game never happened.
The Ravens are 5-2 and have, I would say, an easier schedule the rest of the way than the Steelers.
Yep.
Because they've already gotten the Chiefs game out of the way. They've already played the Bills. They've already played a Commanders team that looks pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
You say realistic, as in it's realistic that the Steelers could win the division, play the Broncos as a wild card team, and win that game. I look at the Steelers' remaining schedule and do not feel like it is realistic that they will finish ahead of a Baltimore team that appears to be streaking right now. I don't think that is realistic.
So let's stop throwing parades after that great Russell Wilson performance on Sunday, because the very nihilistic...
Demonize me however you want. You've already swayed Jeff in South Park and Nate. Guys who said... Jeff, don't you know by now Mulsey thinks every team in the AFC has a better quarterback situation than the Steelers and has since 2004? Chris being pessimistic about the Steelers a couple days after their most complete win in years, knock me over with a feather.
Who said that one?
That was Nate.
Good job, Nate.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here is Henry on the reception for the touchdown. Good luck trying to defend this group.
I feel good about it. That's Joe Buck there on the Ravens. Unstoppable in the run game so far with that Lamar Jackson-Derrick Henry tandem. We're trying to figure out how good you feel about the Steelers. Malzi, even after the glee and delight of that game Sunday night, saying he thinks they might be the third team in the AFC North today at 412-928-9370, which might factor into your analysis of a Cooper Kupp trade idea. He's available. The Rams have called the Steelers, and the Rams want a second-round pick. Do you want to make that deal? And how good do you think Russell Wilson is after watching him Sunday night? That also is a conversation point, our piece at 412-928-9370. Here is Andy in Burgettstown. Hello, Andy. Andy? Andy?
Good stuff, man.
Andy is the guy from West Virginia who grew up a Seahawks fan because he's from Kurt Warner's hometown.
Kurt Warner, the Penn State running back.
Not Kurt Warner,
the Hall of Fame quarterback.
Yes. Which, if you're Kurt Warner, the guy that was Penn State's all-time leading rusher for 30 years before Evan Royster came around, aren't you pissed that another guy with the same name just burst onto the scene and then had a better football career? Because now you just become forever known as the other Kurt Warner.
Is there any other example of that in the NFL?
Well, there's the other Chris Muller.
No, I'm
saying there's the guy
NFL.
In Pittsburgh sports media who probably felt the same.
I don't think he lives here anymore.
Oh, really?
I don't think he's in media.
Do you think he left to escape your shadow?
To become his own Chris Muller?
Yes. What about the other Adrian Peterson that was a running back?
Yeah, exactly. Bingo, Donnie.
There was a guy at Iowa State once who I think shared a name with somebody
about
really good.
The Penguins have this. How about the other Sebastian Aho?
That's true too. Yeah, when they acquired him, people had to Sebastian Aho. And
no,
then people had to
one.
Put, no, the one who's not that good.
The one who sucks.
The crappy Aho.
Here is Sean and McDonald. Hello, Sean.
Hey, guys. I'm all about getting Cooper Kupp, but not for a two. I would give him my best offer, but I wouldn't give up more than a five because I feel like you could get – we don't need a number one. I feel like Pickens is a number one receiver. We just need a good route runner on the other side. I'd be fine with DeAndre Hopkins. I would give up a fifth for one of those guys, but not something higher.
And I don't think you're going to get him because the Rams don't have to trade him. You know,
and that's fine. And because the caller a few minutes ago was right. He's just ever since the Super Bowl year, he's been so brittle and injury ridden, and I just wouldn't feel comfortable giving up a two. And I doubt this would either. So,
Sean, what is the worst injury you ever suffered in life?
The worst injury I ever suffered?
Yeah.
When the numbing did not take effect when I got my
vasectomy.
Yep.
Yeah. Wait, what do you mean the numbing didn't take?
I could feel everything.
Oh,
I
told
the doctor, and he said, "Well, you had scar tissue, so we couldn't get through it. Just tough it out." And I did.
Oh,
I just had to tough it out. He was already in there. I couldn't. I had to just.
He was.
That guy's surgeon was Bear Bryant.
Hold on. Rub some dirt on it. Take a lap, buddy.
That guy is a legend.
The doctor or the guy?
Both are.
Who's his doctor?
Hey,
Dr. Nick from The Simpsons? I'm going to snip the vas deferens.
This is killing me. I thought this was numbed. Whatever, buddy.
Just grin and bear it.
Deal with it. Oh, man. I don't know. I just wanted to ask him that question because he's out here calling Cooper Kupp brittle, an NFL player.
I
wanted to see.
He is
actually a tough guy. He can call out another guy for being injured too much after that experience.
I thought he was going to say, I had a high ankle sprain. It hurt pretty bad. I wasn't thinking that was happening.
Here's our number one fan. He's got PM teamed tattooed on his body. I'm talking about the man, the myth, the legend, Big Ed. Hello, Big Ed.
What's going on, guys?
Hey.
Big Ed, were you in town for the game Sunday night?
Nope, I was not. We talked about that, I think it was a couple weeks ago. No games for me this season.
Girls'
wrestling schedule is too tight for me.
Damn, that's too bad.
Yeah.
All right, what do you want to say, Big Ed? Floor's yours.
Okay, so Cooper Kupp for a second, I'm doing it. Guy is not brittle. 21 targets in one game. Of course you're going to see some overusage. Yeah, you might get hurt. When you see 21 attempts in one game, bring him over to Pittsburgh. Let him play around. Let him be the number two because he's not going to be the number one. He'll be the number two. I'm not scared of Baltimore. Never have been. Never will be. It's always a tough game. I'm not scared of Derrick Henry. I've never been a big fan of Derrick Henry, no matter where he's at.
Wow. Why's that?
I just I feel like every time the Steelers see him, it's a non-factor for me. It's just
they have very good experience against him. You're right. He does not run all over
every
them,
every time. Yeah, and so for me, you look at that Cincy game. The first thing I thought was Derrick Henry's not ready for AFC North football. You see AFC North football, six games. That it's going to be different than playing in Tennessee and watching those guys. It's different. It's different football in AFC North.
Okay.
Cincinnati should have won that game. I'm not scared of Baltimore.
Now, Mueller said he thinks Cincinnati might be better than the Steelers. You agree with that, or do you think that's an asinine take?
I think it's an asinine take. Now, don't get me wrong. I think Cincy can beat the Steelers because they've always and something about Joe B always plays with – there's certain quarterbacks who can beat the Steelers.
I just don't even think you have to say that about there's certain guys who beat them. He's just really good. Like, really good quarterbacks are hard to beat.
I'm talking about quarterbacks in general. You look at Joe Flacco. That Indy team is not better than Steelers, but Joe Flacco could, hey, let's make something happen because of the way the Steelers play certain quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
But that team is not better than Pittsburgh.
So how good do you feel about Russ right now, Big Ed?
I tell you what, before the game, I didn't like the move because I didn't know what offense was coming. But watching that game and seeing what Russ could do at the line shows you the difference of why Mike Tomlin went with Russ. Because that's the big difference. What Russ was doing at the line, multiple play calls in one play, going from this one to that one, finding guys open, that offense is way better than what we're seeing with Justin Fields and can get even better the further we go along. This timing is perfect. You get two duds with the Jets and the Giants. You go into the bye. You build up Russ's confidence, and you go into this moment of a schedule for the rest of the season. We go see what we're really about.
All right, Big Ed, call back again soon, okay, pal?
Yep.
There you go. I did tweet out that I'd get a face tattoo if the Steelers traded for Cooper Kupp.
But you're not going to do that.
Well, I don't have to worry about it because I don't think they will.
What would you get? Like a little teardrop by the corner of your eye?
Tony would be the least intimidating person to ever live to have
now,
that
tattoo.
Now,
come on now. I'm going to the gym a bunch of times a week. My buddies
That's
are getting me in shape.
That's not necessarily a shot at you. Just think of some of the people that got that tattoo.
If you got a teardrop, it's like the tattoo equivalent of cauliflower ear. You see somebody who's got a little teardrop tattoo next to their eye.
Hey,
you want a beer?
How about the...
How about a Modelo? That's what I'm having.
How about the chick who ran onto the field? Our friend... Again, to bring her up, Claire, I think is her name.
Claudia
Rose.
Barbara. Ellen.
Roseanne. She has...
B. Arthur.
She got a real MAGA tattoo under her eye. Permanent.
Like right here or in her eyelid?
No, not in her eyelid, right underneath it.
What do you make of the people who get like the tattoo all, for the video listeners?
Inside the lip?
Yeah.
Okay, so I say I get a face tattoo if they get Cooper Kupp. Would an inside the lip tattoo count?
No, it has to be on your visible face, a la Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
So the neck one wouldn't count either.
I think you should do the Tyson.
Would you guys count the Jose Tabata kiss
tattoo? No. Neck is not face. Neck is different.
Okay.
What if we just had you get KP8 tattooed across your forehead?
How about like a pair of tiny, dainty hands? Would you like that?
If you got the Johnny the Barber style hands that he gave us, I would actually accept that. Two tiny little hands.
Johnny the Barber is excited for a movie that's going to hit theaters soon.
He's actually
a remake.
He's actually getting into the film producing business based on what he's texting us.
Debrief time. Donnie football debrief time. Brought to you by Steel Mill Saloon in Mount Washington. Donnie? And a happy birthday to Donnie, number 29, folks.
Thank you.
Can't wait till you turn 29 plus one next year. I'm 29.
That's a biggie.
I'm right now 29 plus 10 years old. It's fun.
We both have biggies next year.
I'm excited for you, not really, to learn what happens in your 30s where your body starts to break down and things that were once easy to do, like recover from a night of reasonably heavy drinking.
Oh, I've already felt that.
Well, then, buddy, wait till you get back to about 33 years old. You're going to have a whole different appreciation
but
for
otherwise,
what it was like Malzie, being 26.
Thanks to our pals at Awaken right. 180, I'm feeling better at 29 than I did at 19.
Best Steeler to wear number 29.
Ryan Mundy?
Hold on. Let me actually think about this. Mundy was the first name that popped into my mind. There's got to be somebody else. No offense to Ryan Mundy or his family.
Marco Thomas?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
How about Barry Foster?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
okay, I don't know why I thought he wore 28 in my mind.
Yeah, definitely Barry Foster. Just for that one season, even.
Anybody else we're missing?
I can't really think of anybody else besides him.
Doesn't
and Mundy.
Pro Football Reference usually do like a by the number for each team?
How about Pirates?
The best 29? Eesh. Man, I got like nothing on that one. Steelers who have worn number 29. Oh, wait, it won't actually let you do that. That's no. Oh, here we go. Okay.
Barry Foster's my guess.
All right. Ron Johnson from the late 70s and early 80s.
Isn't that the guy from Miami Vice?
It is it. That's Don Johnson.
Don Johnson, that's right.
And a guy named Bob Hone.
Best 29 Pirates history.
I don't know. I mean, Fleury's the Penguin obviously think of.
How about Vita Bella?
I didn't Francisco Cervelli.
You know
probably.
What do you think, Malzi?
I can't think of a better one, but again, because you said him, we just needed a jumping off point so that we could get into the old list.
How about KY?
The list.
Francisco Cervelli or Kevin Young?
Young's
you like?
Better than Cervelli.
Yeah, I think Young was a better player, just on some very, very bad teams. He was like the only offensive force on the freak show Pirates
he
in
has 97. A few 20 years.
What number did Al Oliver wear for the Pirates?
I thought he was like 18.
Al Oliver was 29, but he also wore a couple different numbers. He wore 29, 16.
That's got to be...
That's him.
Then
that's
he
your
wore
dad's
number,
guy
then
right
he wore
there.
Number zero.
Yeah, he's the pick.
All right, Donnie, what do you got for the debrief on your birthday?
The debrief, 10/22/2024. The senior category of the Pro Football Hall of Fame has some people in Steelers country up in arms. They cut it down to 31 players today. The next step, I guess, is to get to 9 after this. LC Greenwood left out yet again of the 31 players. The only two defensive linemen that made it, Jim Marshall and Harvey Martin.
I just don't get
Harvey
it.
Harvey Martin's
man.
Claim to fame is that he's a Super Bowl MVP.
Correct. Jim Marshall's claim to fame is that he ran the wrong way.
Yep.
On the Purple People Eaters line, what? Alan Page, Carl Eller.
So,
who was the fourth guy on that Purple People Eaters D line?
Oh, man, that's a great question. I don't
Alan
think
Page, Carl Eller, Jim Marshall.
I don't know off the top of my head.
Forgotten man.
So, of the guys that are finalists here, like, they project that only one will get in. There will be only one senior guy. So
no, wait, that's the projection or that's what they...
That's typically
that's all it
that's
be.
Typically how it goes.
Yeah, because it was Monga McMichael this past year.
Yes. So I'm looking at the list. Ken Anderson at quarterback, Jim Plunkett, Otis Anderson, Roger Craig, Chuck Foreman, who played for the Vikings in that Super Bowl IX. Sterling Sharp, who was really good before his neck injury. Joe Jacoby from the Hogs. Carl Banks. Clay Matthews Jr. with the Browns, Lester Hayes, Everson Walls with the Giants. Just to name a few.
Of all the names you just gave me, though, you know who I like? And granted, I'm going with the guy that I kind of saw a little bit and played video games. I think Sterling Sharp is probably the best. The guy was on pace to have just preposterous career numbers.
I think Ken Anderson is the best quarterback who's eligible, who's not in the Hall of Fame.
Sharp was coming off a three-season run when his career was cut short, where he put up, and this is, remember, in the early 90s, dude. He put up, I'm doing the quick math here, Pony, 314 catches for something like well over, or for 3,000 yards. No, 4,000 yards, I'm sorry. And 42 touchdowns. And that's in 92, 93, and 94. That's not even when, or that's like right when Brett Favre got on the scene there.
Yeah.
Man, that's some crazy, crazy numbers, dude.
The problem for him is that wide receiver stats, there's longevity where guys compiled a lot of great seasons, and he just got lost in the shuffle. He's, I think...
His six-year run is not altogether different than AB's.
That's what I was just
going to
say.
Run.
He's got kind of like an AB profile where he doesn't have the great numbers, but you could compare him over a 4 or 5 year period to guys that are in the Hall of Fame like Andre Reed, for example, or Art Monk, and easily make the case that Sterling Sharp is probably better than those guys. But this So this is the constant battle as a football fan when we rank these guys that I deal with. So you were talking off the air about where you'd rank Derrick Henry among the great running backs, and you brought up Emmitt Smith's name. And Emmitt Smith has one thing working against him, which is he was in a great offense with an amazing offensive line. The thing he is working for him is he was just good for a really long time. For a super long time.
I think the
and that's got to count for something.
Well, I think he's seen as a
contact violent sport to be that durable. That's why Donnie's such a big Frank Gore guy.
I know, but I think
that's why you're always in London Fletcher. You're pounding the table for both of those dudes.
But I think Smith is seen as more of a function of one of the most dominant O-lines you'll ever see. And Henry's a guy who elevated at times less than ideal circumstances for the Titans. Nate, the same guy who made fun of me, Nate did, a couple minutes ago, has a tattoo take.
Yeah.
He needs to get you. We talked about you getting a tattoo if they trade for Cooper Kupp. KP8 with a teardrop. Teardrop tattoos can symbolize time served. Pony should serve time for some of his takes. Murder. He murdered Kenny's career. Or humiliation. He deserves eternal humiliation from Montana to Rice. Our guy Nate here is coming with some fire today on Twitter.
What do you think of my new one? Wilson to Pickens is the new Warner to Fitzgerald. Have you seen that? That's going around. I think that's got staying power.
You know who it actually
See, here's
is?
Here's why that's
Wilson
not
to
as
Pickens
bad.
Is,
thank you. Thank
Wilson,
you. I'm onto something here,
Wilson,
boys.
You know who Wilson to Pickens actually is? You don't even have to change one of the names. It reminds me of Jeff Blake to Carl Pickens.
Oh, I mean.
Jeff Blake just throwing a big old moon ball up off the screen.
Those teams sucked, though.
They would beat the Steelers, though. They'd get Darnay Scott and Carl Pickens out there and torture the Steelers.
Would you take Wilson in his prime over Warner in his?
Yes. I would.
I would, too.
Well, here's the thing,
though. That's why I didn't think that was as bad.
Funny question, though, funny thing you bring up here. If you said his prime, like meaning the best couple of years, you know, five-year stretch.
Yeah, greatest show on turf.
But if you said at their absolute peak, I take Warner over almost every quarterback who's ever lived.
But I think the point Donnie's making is Russell Wilson's had a better NFL career than Kurt
Warner. He has. But like Kurt Warner is in the top 10 for me. If you say you get this guy for 1 year at the best he ever was, Warner's easy
top
10.
Well, Steve Young's like that too.
No, I understand.
He's another one of those guys.
That brings in some interesting quarterbacks into the equation there. I just think it's a fun little thought exercise. Caleb has photoshopped a teardrop and a KP8 onto you already.
Has he?
Yeah, he's got kind of a weird font for the KP8.
Donnie, thank you for the debrief.
I have something for the hodgepodge. This is one of those hour-ahead teases.
No.
I thought for sure on Donnie's birthday, he was going to highlight something else for the debrief that now I get to save for both of you.
Mike is in Morningside. He's on the fan. Hello, Mike.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Great
hey,
shows.
Thank you.
Hey, Cooper Kupp, third or less. I don't see him elevating us to the point where we just don't bite it out for the rest of the year and make it up in the draft next year.
Man, you don't sound excited at all. I mean, if you were sitting in the Steelers, like, conference room and they were debating this and Omar Khan said, hey, Mike, what do you think? I mean, that's not exactly a ringing endorsement to make the trade when you're like, maybe a third. I mean, that's...
His level just doesn't excite me at this point.
I can tell. I mean, it's all over the way you sound, Mike. What did you think of Russell Wilson on Sunday?
I went in being a little pessimistic because I'm thinking, you know, the guy hasn't played in a year and a half, so there's definitely going to be some rust. I was pleasantly surprised towards the end. But if Pickens doesn't make that big bouncing, juggling catch that was thrown short, you know, that's not on the stats. It's going to be a mediocre.
I think that's
perform.
The one throw that Wilson got away with. Well, I was going to ask Mike a question, but...
Again, back to he's one play away from a mediocre game.
I mean, I think his game still would have been better than mediocre if that play doesn't happen and it just falls incomplete. But that's the thing I think I've maybe not been clear enough because everyone likes to character assassinate my honest opinions and frame them as so negative. I expect Russell Wilson to be better next week. Like, I think that is the reason for optimism for me is not even so much what he did in the game. That was good, and it was fun to watch them actually just make offense look easy for once. He should get better.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.